Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
So today we are finishing up our Christmas series, Sounds of the Season. And the whole idea and the genesis behind this message series has been to look at some classic Christmas songs and traditional songs that we sing and kind of give them a fresh light, to look at them a different way, because many times we sing the same songs over and over and over again. They lose some of their meaning. And we've taken a look at some different songs to inspire new meaning in our hearts, that when we sing these songs, that they will not just be something that we go through, but actually think about and see how God is ministering to us through these songs. And so today is Joy to the World. The kids did a great job in singing the song, and it's not really Christmas unless you sing Joy to the World, right? I mean, you have to sing Joy to the World. There are probably certain Christmas songs that you love to sing. You're like, man, it's just not Christmas until we sing whatever song. And Joy to the World for me is one of the songs that I think of when I think Christmas. You know, it's, we have to sing Joy to the World. But a little backstory on Joy to the World. I always, in the past couple weeks, I have taken some time to share a little bit about the backstory of each song. And Joy to the World has an interesting backstory like the other songs that we've looked at. Joy to the World was not written as a Christmas carol. Its design was not to be sung in churches at Christmas time. We sing it every year, and it's a staple of pretty much every church, but it was never intended for the Christmas season. Isaac Watts, who was a great hymnist of the church, many, many hymns that we have sung throughout the ages have come from Isaac Watts. And throughout church history, if you look back on many hymns, we can trace it back to him. What Isaac would do is he would go through the Psalms and he would put them into poems, and then from there they would be put to song. And that's kind of what happened with Joy to the World. He took Psalm 98 and adapted it into a poem, and then about a century or so later, somebody came along and adjusted the end of the poem and put it to music. But the hymn is not based off of a Christmas song or a Christmas carol. The hymn, the song, Joy to the World, was basically Isaac Watts and his description of Psalm 98. And Psalm 98 has nothing to do with baby Jesus being born in a manger, but in fact, it has everything to do with Jesus' second coming. That's the idea behind Psalm 98, the celebration and role as Jesus over both his church and the entire world. We typically sing Joy to the World at Christmas because it talks about Jesus and the joy of the world. But the idea behind the song was about Jesus' second coming, not his first coming. But we sing it every Christmas. So if it's not really a Christmas song, why do we sing it at Christmas? Well, it's just what we do, right? You know, we kind of get into that mode. Well, we always do it, so we're going to keep on doing it. But if you think about it, we can't celebrate Jesus' second coming without his first coming. And so it is an appropriate song that we sing, that we sing Jesus and Joy to the World, the fulfillment of what Christ came to do. Christmas is not just the time for us to look back at what grace has accomplished in the past, but Christmas is an opportunity for us to look forward to see what grace will accomplish in the future. That's what Christmas is all about. So when we sing the song, we're proclaiming the ultimate joy to be revealed, Jesus coming back. And that's why we can sing Joy to the World at Christmas time. You know, the great thing about God is that he shows us a little bit about the future. He doesn't give us every detail, and I know for most of us, we would love to know what the future is going to bring, but God doesn't show us every part of our future, but he does show us glimpses of that. So if you would, look in your Bibles, or if not, we have it up on the screen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. Then I saw heaven, a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." God reveals a bit about what is to come. Now, it is Christmas, and I know all the kids in the room, they're anticipating Tuesday morning, and or whenever you open up your Christmas presents. And I remember as a kid, my grandparents would often come down from Orlando, and they would come down, and they would have Christmas presents for me and my sisters. And they would come, and they would have the back of their van just loaded with presents for me and my two sisters. And so we would go, and it wasn't, you know, Christmas morning. I mean, this was a couple days or even a week before Christmas. And here we have Christmas presents all around the tree. And so I would, you know, being a kid, I would take all the Christmas presents that had my name on it, and I would place them all in one pile around the tree. And then from there, I would just sit and stare at those presents because my name was on those presents. And I would want to know what is inside those beautifully wrapped presents that had my name on it. So when no one else was around, I would take all the presents that said Matt on them and I would pick them up. And I would see how heavy they were. And then I would do a little bit of shaking to see if there was any noise to be heard in there. And then I would switch it over to its side and shake it from side to side so I could, can I just get a glimpse of what is in there? Maybe I can figure out just by shaking what is inside the present. And then I became so bold as to, okay, well, I can't figure out by the weight and I can't tell, it's not making any noise, but I do see there is a little spot back here in the back that maybe, perhaps I can just get a little glimpse of without taking, because you can't take the tape off, because if you take the tape off, that's a dead giveaway that you've been in the present. So I would do my very best to see if I could get a glimpse of what was in that present. And I would do that with every single one of the presents under the tree. And oh, I was so tempted to just unwrap those presents to see what were in those that said Matt on them. But I was a good boy because I didn't want, you know, to not have any Christmas presents. So I didn't unwrap them, although I was oh so tempted because they looked, I mean, look how beautiful it is. And it's got my name on it. And my grandma and grandpa want me to have this, so I can just open it now. I mean, all those thoughts went through my head as to why I should open the presents before Christmas. But I didn't. I said, you know what, I'll just set the present down and I'll just keep looking at it. And then the next day, I would come home from school and I would do the same thing all over again. And I never figured out what was in those presents until Christmas morning. You see, we always want to know what the future holds. Each and every one of us, we would like to have a glimpse into the future. We want to know what is to come, and God has given us a glimpse into the future. We don't have to wait until the day Jesus returns to find out what God is going to do in the future. God has already revealed a portion to us. He hasn't given us step-by-step instructions, but he has revealed a part of what is to come. We get a glimpse of our future. Jesus was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, and that set into motion things that we could never even fathom. We couldn't imagine the greatest joy that we would ever receive by a little baby being born in a manger. But the question can be asked, how can I have joy? We sing joy to the world. How can I have joy in the world when there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of joy to be found? How can we celebrate what God has done or what God is doing when sometimes it feels like God isn't always around? Or how can we celebrate joy when I see pain and hurt all around me? And I will say this morning, that is a very fair question. Asking that question does not make you a bad person. Asking that question does not mean that you don't believe in God. That is a very fair question for us to ask. Why then is, how can I celebrate joy when there are so many bad things going on? The ultimate answer to that question is the reason why there are bad things and there are things that go around the world that we scratch our heads and go, I don't understand. It's devastating. It breaks our heart. And that's because sin entered into the world. Sin ultimately broke what God had planned. God had planned a relationship for us to be in perfect unity and harmony with him. But sin entered into the world. And that plan was broke because of sin. And so when we look around the world, we see there are bad things going on. It's not that we just stick our head in the sands and go, well, I just love God and he's wonderful. And there's no bad stuff going on. We can understand and realize there are bad things that happen in the world, but still have joy. We can understand that there is sin in the world, but still have joy in our hearts. Because Jesus came in the middle of chaos. Jesus came in the middle of a terrible situation. Jesus was born to parents who didn't know what they were doing. Jesus was born in the middle of a sinful world. But he came that we may have joy, and a joy that is beyond anything that our current situation may look like. You see, we can have joy when nothing seems to be going right. Because ultimately, joy was bought through Jesus and his salvation. That we can have joy because Jesus brought it to us through his salvation. I want to take just a moment, since joy to the world is based off of Psalm 98, I want to take just a moment and look at a couple verses. Psalm chapter 98, verse 1 through 3 says this: "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand, his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." This is where the inspiration that Isaac Watts got for Joy to the World. That we can experience salvation. Jesus coming to the earth as a baby in a manger, but growing into a man and dying on the cross for all of our sins and raising on the third day means that we can experience true joy. We could not truly experience joy without Jesus being born, without him dying on the cross, but then rising again 3 days later. We can praise him and declare his goodness and sing to him a song of praise for salvation because we know that he has come and that he is coming again. You see, Joy to the World may have not been intended as a Christmas song. That was not the desire, but it sure is a great song to proclaim. It is a great song to sing, and it may be a song that we sing not just on Christmas, but all year long. To understand that joy has come to the world, that Jesus has bought us salvation, and we can sing and we can rejoice because we know what we have experienced through salvation, what is to come. There is something greater than what we see. There is something beyond our circumstance and our lives right now. There is something greater than what we see. There is something greater than the situation you're going on because God has revealed that to us. There is a bright future for each and every one of us. That is something to be worthy of. That is something to praise God over. To experience the joy that God has given to us. There will be a day that everyone recognizes Jesus Christ as King. There will be a day when there is no more sadness and no more sorrow. There will be a day that we will not feel that the world has overcome us, but that we have overcome the world. And that brings joy. That inspires joy to know that something greater is to come. Well, I did not know what was in these presents that had my name on them. Oh, I couldn't wait for that day to come. I couldn't wait for that day to come Christmas morning to open up my eyes and realize I didn't have to go to school that day, but I got to go open presents around the Christmas tree. That was a great day. I knew what the presents represented. The presents represented something, a greater thing, something coming in the future. Jesus coming and dying on the cross and God revealing something greater to come gives us joy to know beyond what we see, there is something much greater, the promise of what is to come. And that gives us joy to sing a new song, to give praise to God for what he has done, but what he is going to do. God pulled back the curtains of time to reveal to you and I what is to come, that beyond what you see right now, but beyond sorrow, beyond tragedy, there is something greater where there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more anguish, there will be no more tears, but eternal joy through Christ. That is a day that we can celebrate, and that is something we can celebrate in the middle of our trials, in the middle of the darkest of the night. I didn't know what was under the Christmas tree for me, but I knew and I know what God has for you and for me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has given us the greatest gift of all. And you might be here today and you may not feel hope or joy this Christmas season. You know, there's a song, I believe Faith Hill sings it, "Where Are You, Christmas?" And for me, there are times that there were some Christmases that I could really identify with that song. Where are you, Christmas? The lights are up and family's getting together and there are presents under the tree, but it just doesn't, I just don't feel it. Because of the things that were going on in my life and things that I was facing, where are you, Christmas? And you may be here today and Pastor, you're talking about joy. It's hard for me to see joy in the middle of what I'm going through. Your life hasn't been going the way that you had planned. Things haven't happened the way that you have planned. You're facing challenges and difficulties beyond anything that anybody could imagine. And maybe there are hurts inside of you that you haven't shared with anybody. You're like, nobody even knows the pain and the anguish that I'm facing. The enemy has tried to kill and steal and destroy all joy and all hope that you have. But Psalm 98 tells us and proclaims, and we can be encouraged and praise him because what Jesus promised to do, he did. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And he's going to return again. That all of this is going to fade away. The story of Christmas began with Jesus in a manger, but it didn't end there. Jesus' life continues on, and he grows into a child, into a young man, into an adult. And we see through the pages of the Gospels that Jesus performed many miracles. But the story didn't stop there. We see Jesus arrested and put on trial. But the story didn't stop there. We see Jesus nailed to a cross and give up his last breath. But the story didn't stop there. We see Jesus being put into the side of a mountain, into a cave, into what was his burial place, and a stone rolled before it. And all of his disciples and his parents walk away weeping because he is dead. But the story doesn't stop there. 3 days later, they come back and the stone had been rolled away and Jesus wasn't in the grave. But the story didn't end there. You see, Jesus came back with his friends and he told them what was to come and that he was giving them something greater. The Holy Spirit was going to dwell them and help them through the days, through the darkness, through the challenges of life. My Holy Spirit, my presence will be with you, but I have to return to the Father. And the story doesn't end there. He continues on ministering to us through the Holy Spirit. And one day, he will return and we see the glory of God revealed to everybody and the earth will proclaim and shout his goodness. The reason Jesus came down from heaven to you and I was to save us from our sin that was broken, that broke our relationship with God, to restore us into right relation with God. Prepare him room in all of our hearts, for he is coming again. And when he does, the earth will sing of his praise. The rocks will cry out. The streams will proclaim that Christ is the King. The Lord is come. That's the joy that we will all fully know. The promise that we all have, the promise that while we don't know exactly how our future is going to turn out, that God has given us a gift, the greatest gift of all, and he has shown us the future, a glorious future that we can hold on to and have hope despite our circumstances, despite of what we may see, that there is something greater, that Jesus is coming for us. There will be no more sorrows. There will be no more tears, but everlasting joy. All across the room, if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads. Today we celebrate Christmas as a family. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. There would be no second coming without him coming to this earth. gathered together, sung praises to God, worshiped Him, allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to us. But right now, God wants to speak to you. Not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. Right now, God is speaking to you. And I have this burden on my heart today that I feel the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, that God wants you to be encouraged today, to walk out of this place knowing that there is a future for you. There is hope beyond what you can see right now. The days may not always be easy. The hours may seem like they are months, but you are not alone. God is with you. God is for you. The promise was not for a select few of people, but for every single one of us. There is no person in this room greater than anybody else. I am not greater than anybody else. We are all the same in God's eyes. Nothing in your past can keep you from experiencing God's future. All it takes is simply saying, God, I submit my life to you. I need you. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried everything, and maybe that's where you're at today. I've tried everything, so God, I'm going to try you. Whatever it may be, however you may come today, that doesn't matter. The journey doesn't matter as so much as where you're going. And God is with you, and He is for you. And He is with you on your journey. But maybe it's time today that you just submit your heart to Him. Say, God, I need your help. I've bought into some lies. I've bought into things. And I've heard your word. I've heard you speaking to me. God, I'm crying out to you. Thank you for hope. Thank you for joy that goes beyond all that I can imagine. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want anybody looking around. I just want to take an opportunity today. If that's you today, you're saying, I just need to submit my heart to Christ. I want to make Him Lord of my life. I want to be called a child of God. And if you're here today, just raise your hand, put it up, put it right back down. If there's anybody in the room, no eyes, nobody looking around. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, maybe I've drifted away from God. I've drifted away from my relationship with you, and I want to experience that joy, the hope that is to come. I trust in you, God. I trust in you with all that I have and all that I am. For every person here today, Lord, I pray that they walk out understanding the truth today. There is a day coming that none of us can imagine, that the joy will be beyond anything that we have ever experienced. That's your promise to us, and that you will help us through every moment of every day until that day that you return. You've promised you'll be with us, and we know your promises are true because you have spoken them in your word, and we have seen them come to pass. The greatest promise of all is that you would give us your Son. Did that. Thank you for every person here today. May we be encouraged by your word, by what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.